All right, nice Sunday for baseball as the A's and Giants wrap up this Bay Bridge series. We'll see who wins the Bay Bridge series today. All right, it's a pleasure to bring in Jesse Agler. Of course, he is the play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres. Jess, how are you?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine, sort of hanging around this wild card race, and it really is wild. Things are kind of getting jumbled up here in the National League, and the Padres are kind of in the middle of all this.
Yes, they certainly are. The thing that jumps out to me immediately is, of course, the Cardinals are doing Cardinal things, which seems to be as consistent as the sun rising. But, the Padres are very much in the mix. Obviously, here in L.A., have dropped the first two games of this series. Dodgers have their biggest lead of the season in the West right now. And, you know, I haven't really said this to the players or to Bob Melvin, although at some point I want to have a conversation with Bob about it. But it kind of seems to me that at this moment in time right now, at least for the Padres, you know, like the focus should be one thing at a time. And the next thing is, you know, let's try and get to the top of those wild card standings. Let's try and beat a team that hosts, you know, a best of three as a wild card. I think right now it would be Atlanta. And that should sort of be like the one step at a time mentality, and not to concede the West, certainly. But you know as well as I know that the Dodgers are just sort of right back at it where they've been, it seems like, every year for all of eternity.
Well, I've said it this morning about the Giants. It's one day at a time, one game at a time, and You just have to worry about winning your game. And then whatever happens will take care of itself. But if you don't win your game, you can't get anywhere. So that's our mentality now. It's one game at a time, being seven back of the Phillies right now in that third wild card spot. Jess, what a week, though, for you guys in San Diego. And the crowds were unbelievable. Just give us a taste of what it was like on Monday before the Soto deal went down, and how it all came together for you, and just the week of San Diego baseball.
Yeah, Monday was, you know, game one of five games in 4 days against Colorado. So you were sort of like, oh, boy, this is going to be a long week. But you also knew that the trade deadline was the next day and that there was a very real potential for very real excitement. And I might be getting my days mixed up here because it's obviously been a crazy week. But I think that was the day they ended up trading for Hader. And it was like, oh, that kind of felt like it came out of left field. I think I had heard my first sniff of that the night before. From somebody that was a possibility. And it took me a minute to sort of, you know, attempt to sort of understand why. And it was explained to me that, you know, the Brewers, with guys that are eventually going to be free agents, like to move on, et cetera, even though he's not a rental just for this year. And I was like, okay. And then they go out and they make the Hader trade. And you just sort of knew that they had the pieces to get the Soto deal done. You knew, like, if they really, really wanted it, they probably could pull it off. Because they were, I think, more able to spend the prospect capital than any other team was in terms of the quality of guys that they had available. So you knew it was a very real possibility. But also there was this sort of, I mean, PTSD is too strong of a term. But, you know, this last year, you know, a lot of people thought they were about to get Scherzer and Trey Turner from Washington. And, of course, they end up going to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have hardly lost a game since. And so, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, this trepidation that, all right, I don't want to get burned again after what took place last year. But then as the day sort of went on, it became more and more clear that, you know, it was going to be probably the Padres or nobody. You know, that was kind of the sense we were getting. And sure enough, not only do they pull off Soto, but, you know, they bring in Josh Bell, who's going to be a free agent after this year. But he's having a really nice season. And, you know, you just sort of step back after the dust cleared and you realize, you know, they upgraded in several different spots all over the place. They upgraded with Soto. They upgraded with Bell. They upgraded with Brandon Drury. They upgraded with Josh Hader. And that's a heck of a thing to pull off in what was essentially 36 hours.
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. Jess Agler is with us, of course, as I say, the play-by-play voice on the radio with Tony Gwynn Jr. of the Padres. But so Soto comes in, and what it did for the fan base, I mean, to watch some of those games on TV and just see the excitement. How about that?
It was remarkable. I think Wednesday was the first day they were here. It was as electric, I think, as I've ever seen Petco Park. This is my ninth season here, and I am including opening days. You know, the opening day when Tatis made the roster, which was something of a surprise. I guess that would have been 18. You know, that year, I think the ovation that he got, the energy and the electricity, that's probably the only thing that rivals it. maybe last year, the first game where they opened up the ballpark to full capacity, they walked off against the Reds. There was great energy in that building that night. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, the other day, it was like a football crowd. When guys would come out to stretch before the pregame introductions, people were giving them standing ovations, loud standing ovations. People were in their seats 30, 35 minutes before first pitch because they wanted to get a glimpse at Soto running out of the dugout to go jog in right field. It was really remarkable, and it did remind me of, you know, like an hour before an NFL game or a big college football game when there are a bunch of people out there to cheer their guys as they randomly come out. And that was just the start. I mean, it was deafeningly loud throughout the game during the introductions. And, of course, they go out and they just maul the Rockies. First inning, Drury grand slam, first pitch he sees, the building was shaking. And again, I think in my nine seasons, I have never heard Petco Park that loud.
Wow, what a great story. Jesse Agler, of course, always a pleasure to catch up with you. You mentioned Tatis. Now, I see he went out on his rehab yesterday. How is that going?
Well, two walks yesterday. I think, look, the thing is going to be how he feels afterwards, and so I'm sure they are already quite in his face about how he feels this morning after playing an actual game for the first time. You know, look, he didn't have spring training at all. This injury was discovered on the very first day of spring training. So this is really his first competitive game at bat since the end of last season. So it's probably going to take a couple of days. But also probably Fernando is going to be telling them after every single game he's ready to play in the big leagues because that's the kind of guy he is. And by the way, he might not be wrong. You know, I mean, he's that sort of freak where he probably doesn't need a ton of time to get ready. But, you know, if I had to guess, it's going to happen sooner rather than later that he'll get to the team. You know, I asked Bob Melvin the other day, I said, aside from health, you know, what are sort of the boxes that he needs to check on the rehab assignment? And he looked at me and he kind of smirked and he said, health. You know, so I think as long as he's coming out of it feeling okay every day and that there's no, you know, swelling or aggravation or anything of the wrist, you know, he's probably going to get himself to the big leagues about as quickly as possible.
The Padres ran into the Dodgers, and of course the Giants have lost 8 straight to the Dodgers, 11 straight, my God, in the National League West. But you got a taste of what the Giants saw in those 8 games, your first two down there. Minaya got lit up just big time. I mean, I watched some of that game, didn't have much, and then Clevinger gives up the big home run to Muncy last night. How about those first two games? Does it take something away from this big moment of Padres baseball?
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, it's sort of I have a hard time not just talking about the Dodger situation with the Padres, but, you know, sort of in my own mind intellectualizing the way I feel about it. You know, there is this element of, all right, they're obviously great. But, you know, you get into the playoffs and you sort of roll the dice and we'll see where it goes. I don't know that, you know, having some frustrating losses against them here now really impacts anything if you do run into them in a division series or a championship series. I really don't. I don't know that you're going to carry that with you. I think the energy and the hype and the attention will all be there in October. Now, obviously, you do have to win games. We talked about sort of the jumbled nature of the wild card picture right now. So, like, to me, that's where more the focus is. It's not even so much about the Dodgers as it is. You just got to continue to stack wins together. But as Melvin said last night, he goes, look, at some point we are going to have to figure these guys out. You know, and I guess, like, in my brain, the way I'm looking at it is, you know, as long as we figure it out in October, I don't really care that much about, you know, the way it looks in August and September. Although, again, I know they're going to be big games. But I'm just sort of leaning away from trying to put too much into it. And look, moving forward, remember, beginning next year, you know, two fewer series against the divisional opponents. You know, so kind of, you know, if we're going to de-emphasize it with the schedule, maybe we are okay to de-emphasize it in our minds a little bit.
All right. Well, the Giants are struggling with the same thing after losing 8 straight to the Dodgers. And they had held their own, but the Dodgers are sort of on another level right now. Yeah. Jesse, the Giants do come in there tomorrow. And Blake Snell goes tomorrow. He's had some good games. I mean, like the old Blake Snell again. So I ask you about Blake Snell. And who do the Giants see this week? What is this series matching up to be?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think they're staying on turn. So it should be Snell and Musgrove and then maybe Minaya. Don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Snell has been really, really good. He's probably been their best starter the last month or so. And it's interesting because last year he sort of came alive in the second half as well. Maybe the best I've ever seen him throw was actually at Dodger Stadium late last season against that lineup. And he's been really fun to watch. He's just attacking. He's in the zone. He's not nibbling. He's not walking guys. He's just coming at everybody. And that's what they've basically been screaming at him to do the entire season. And now it's coming together, and he's kind of pitching with that confidence. And he's been really, really fun to watch. So that's the guy going tomorrow in game one of the series. And look, you know, for all the talk about Soto and Bell and Drury and, you know, the big bats and the length of the lineup and Tatis coming back, and those are all positives, of course. But I do think, you know, it's going to start and end for the Padres most nights with starting pitching. And that's what's gone wrong here in Los Angeles the last couple of days. So it's good that, you know, Blake is pitching the way he is, because right now he and Darvish are kind of the most consistent guys at the top of that rotation.
I like Clevinger. Clevinger looks like he's almost back. I know he gave up the home run last night, but he's had a couple of games. And you're right. It will be Musgrove and Minaya following Snell. We'll see. But we won't see Clevinger. But to me, Clevinger's made a big jump.
He has, no doubt. And it's that reminder that a guy coming back from Tommy John surgery is, if you'll excuse the wording here, he's not back just because he's back. You know, I mean, he's not back to himself just because he's back pitching in the big leagues. It does take time, and it's ups and downs and chutes and ladders. And I think there was some, you know, coming back from that. He also had a lot of starts and stops earlier this year. He was on the COVID IL. He had, you know, an unrelated injury to the Tommy John. So it was kind of a herky-jerky first couple of months for him, which certainly doesn't help when you're trying to come back from something as serious as Tommy John. And you're right. I think the last few starts, he sort of looked like the guy they thought they were getting when they acquired him at the 2020 trade deadline. Yesterday was the hiccup. I never loved that cliche about, oh, he only made one mistake. But, you know, as you said, that Muncy home run, he hung a slider. You know, and if that's a better pitch and Muncy strikes out there, we're probably having a very different conversation about the way he's pitching, and we're probably even having a different conversation about the way the game went last night. So there's no doubt he has been much, much better as of late. But as always, proof's going to be in the pudding, and, you know, you got to sort of see how it unwinds, you know, for him the rest of the way here. There are, as is the case, I think, with just about every team, there are questions about the starting pitching, especially late in the year. These guys have worked more innings than any other group in baseball, remember, and hopefully they're able to hold up and continue to pitch as effectively as they have for the bulk of the season.
Boy, great to have you on, Jesse. I appreciate it. Is must listen to radio this week or must see TV? Let me tell you, Giants and Padres coming up. Have a great afternoon. I appreciate you being on.
Anytime, Marty. Always a treat.
Yeah, always good. Jesse Agler of the Padres. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body with 15 locations to serve you. This month's Spotlight is on the San Francisco Foster Youth Fund.